You're listening to The Sound Atlas by Russell Brooks.
I'm actually sitting here for the first time with two people today. I'm sitting here with Cindy Darst and Eric Curtis. How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Good. So let's start with both of you, and you can go in any order you'd like. Where were you born?
Go ahead.
I was born in Hardinsburg, Kentucky.
Where's Hardinsburg?
It's very close to Rough River. There's not a lot there. It's in Breckenridge County.
Okay. All right.
Not a lot to talk about.
Not much going on there.
Not much going on there.
That's it.
That's
why I'm
here.
Spend much time at the Rough River?
Yeah, I did.
Swimming and whatnot growing up?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Eric, you were born where?
I was born in Mobile, Alabama.
Okay.
And then I've been here since I was like a year old.
Okay.
So
not too long, but yeah.
Technically born in Mobile.
Gotcha. But you're a
raised.
Kentuckian.
I am
basically.
Kentuckian.
Okay. Did anyone in either of you guys' families play music when you were a child? Or
yes. My mom plays guitar. I have a lot of cousins that play piano, and my mama played piano.
Okay. And what kind of music would they have been playing?
It was all gospel.
So church stuff.
I grew up in
stuff.
Church, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
My mom played in church. My aunt played in church.
Okay.
Grandma played in church. I played in church.
Right. And would it be a crazy assumption, being you're from near Rough River, to say that was a Baptist church?
It was kind of a non-denominational church.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'm surprised. Okay.
But there was also Methodist churches and Pentecostal
right. yeah.
and holiness churches.
I got you.
My mom was a church hopper.
A church hopper?
Yeah.
I got you. Okay.
She was non-denominational.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay. Eric?
Yeah. My dad played guitar. He taught me how to play guitar.
And yeah, what kind of stuff was he into?
Southern rock, mostly. My first song was, actually, he said, if you can learn to play Stairway to Heaven
mm-hmm.
and keep up with me, I'll buy you an electric guitar, because I really wanted to play punk rock. Not Southern rock.
Right.
And classic rock. But
right. So would that have been, Eric, would that have been the kind of music that you heard around the house?
Sure.
Like
yeah.
classic rock and stuff like that?
Yeah. A lot of classic rock and a lot of progressive rock. I listened to a lot of Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then even so far as like, what is his name? Now I can't remember. Jonathan Edwards.
Okay.
I heard a lot of Jonathan Edwards.
I got
too.
You.
So it was pretty big range.
Right. And Cindy, around the house, what are you guys listening to growing up?
We listened to bluegrass, gospel, and some Johnny Cash, Loretta Lynn. Loretta Lynn was my first concert when I was like 5.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
And where was that at?
It was at in Louisville, at Louisville Gardens.
Okay.
And then I saw Ronnie Millsap at Beach Bend.
So you're straight up from, this is good though, you're from a just straight up country background.
Right, yeah.
Gospel. Country background.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis, you, sir, seem to be from the other end of the spectrum,
yes.
which is the rock kind of background.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Little you. Country. And actually, my first concert was the Judds, oddly Ooh. Enough.
is that Ashley and Winona?
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
It's Winona and her mom, which is not Ashley.
No.
What is that woman's name?
I don't know.
That's right, though. One of them's Winona.
One of them is Winona.
The younger one's Winona.
Yes. It's Winona and...
And her mom.
And her mom. We'll come
Where
back
was
to that.
Where was that concert at?
It was in Louisville.
Oh.
I think at the fair or something.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I don't remember much of it.
But you weren't blown away by the Judds. You went back to the rock thing.
No. And I was about 5, so it was just fun to
The Judds didn't do anything for a 5-year-old?
No. No.
That's fair to say. All right. So when's the first time that you guys decide that you want to play music, whether it be sing or play an instrument?
I think it was at that Ronnie Millsap concert.
Okay.
Because he played piano and he came out. And from my memory, the piano was all white. He was dressed in white. And my dad put me on his shoulders, so I saw the whole thing. And I was just blown away. And I think I started asking for piano lessons right after that. I would have been like 4.
Oh, wow. You're taking piano lessons at 4.
Well, no. Then it
oh,
took
okay.
about 2 years.
I
started
you.
When I was 6.
Still, though. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. You, sir.
I'm not sure I can pinpoint mm-hmm. where I was like, I want to play.
But when's the first time you did start trying to play?
I was probably, actually it was sixth grade. I learned to play. That's technically the first thing I learned was to play Paint It Black, the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there was a show, like an army show that I watched. Anyway, that was the opening song. But whatever. I learned to play that in sixth grade and for a little talent show. And then I didn't really touch it for a while.
Right.
So probably 11 is when I started learning.
So you're starting on guitar.
Guitar, yeah.
Cindy, you're starting on piano.
Yes.
Is that correct to say? Okay. both of you guys sing.
Mine's debatable.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm very reluctant about it.
But
Curtis makes
But I have seen you guys sing. So is that something you did when you were younger and you said, that's not for me, but now you reluctantly do it? Or was that kind of your thing for a minute growing up? Or because
the only thing I ever did was sing harmonies with my mom in church.
Okay. I got you.
I mean, I was playing punk, basically, when I first started singing anything.
Right.
And so it was just kind of yelling behind whoever, behind John Treadway, mostly.
Sure.
But no, I kind of decided that I needed to know how to sing a little later on. And I would do a little here and there, but very, very little. So I think I was always, I didn't want to be a singer.
Gotcha.
But now I kind of have to sometimes.
Right.
You just need that as a songwriter. You know,
Of course. So what's the name of you guys' first band? The first time you play in front of people? Or maybe not your first band, but what's the first time you go out and you play an instrument in front of other people?
The first time I was 9, because my piano teacher played for a church, one of the churches that my mom went to. And I played this song during practice, and she said, okay, you're playing that during the when they pass around the offering plate.
Yeah.
So I said okay, because you had to do what she said.
What song was that?
Oh, I can't remember.
Just as
some
I
gospel
am.
Song, something like that. I can't.
Are you
remember.
Aware of Just As I Am?
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah, I could play
connect.
That.
you sir.
That little talent show was the first time I was in front of anybody other than my dad, maybe my mom. And then jump forward to, I think it was 92, with John Treadway in Orange Attic. And it was awful. It was an awful show, and we got booed. It was with Marijuana Catfish.
So your first show did not go well.
It didn't. No, it was, and rightfully so. It was really awful.
Right.
We were about,
okay.
I was 12. We were all, you know, within a couple of years of each other there, and... it was our first band, and it was really awful.
Right.
It's like 2 or 3 chords. I think we did 5 songs.
Yeah.
All of them were 2 or 3 chords.
Oh, yeah.
And we probably were not rehearsed enough to be
in front of folks.
Yeah.
But Cindy, see, she got out easy because it's very rare that you get booed at church.
Oh, yeah.
So when they was the first me. Time you played outside of church?
The first time I played outside of church was with this band called Obenchain.
Obenchain?
Obenchain.
Okay.
And that was back home, probably in 98 or something like that. But we never played out to people. We used to practice in a pickle barn.
Mm-hmm.
And
actually, let's stop right there.
Okay.
For those at home that aren't aware of pickle barns, what is a pickle barn?
Well, it wasn't an active pickle barn, but it had, I don't know.
What is a pickle barn?
It's a barn where pickles are made.
So they just...
God! Now, all I know is in the rafters, there were these roly things that the cucumbers would roll down and they would go into vats, I assume. We just called it the pickle barn because that's what... It used to be. And my dad would be like, oh, yeah, the pickle barn. But it wasn't a pickle barn whenever I played there. It was just a barn, but, you know, we called it the pickle barn.
I was just tickled by active pickle barn. Like, I'd like to have a t-shirt that says Active Pickle Barn.
Yeah, we should. Nobody would ever know. That's what the band should have been called.
Active Pickle
Active
Barn?
Pickle Active Pickle Barn.
Or just Pickle Barn, really.
Previous Pickle Barn. Catchy. Past Pickle Barn.
Past Pickle Barn.
But the thing was that...
It's hard to say.
Every time we would practice, people would show up with beer and it would turn into a party. So we didn't actually get a chance to practice. And the only song that we knew was Tied to the Whipping Post. So we played that a lot.
Okay.
You know, we tried to practice and then people would start showing up and then they'd be like, play something. So we really couldn't let
them
down.
Turned into more of a party than anything else.
It was always a party. Right. I didn't really play.
Well, if you're going to be in a pickle barn, you better get a beer.
In Hardinsburg.
Right, yeah.
This is my catchphrase.
That's what I've told. I don't have kids, but if I ever have them, first thing I'm going to say, find yourself in a pickle barn, grab a brew.
It better be a party.
It was really fun times.
Right. I'll go back to you, Cindy. So, outside of the pickle barn, when's the first time you play, like, at a venue?
That would be with John Spence at Tidballs, probably. Okay. That wasn't until 2006 or 7.
Now, is that just you and John, or?
Just me and John.
And you're playing keys?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we played some of his originals, but we knew, like, 100 covers by the end of it. We played for a few years.
I gotcha. All right. And Eric, the first time you play past the first show, group, I guess I'm asking.
I mean, that Orange Attic went for a while, and the next show went fine. It was also at the same place at Night Class.
Yeah,
On campus.
On campus there, yeah.
And then that band kind of became another band called River.
And who was in River?
That's still the same people as Orange Attic. It was me and John Treadway, and Matt George was the drummer forever.
Okay.
For a lot of these projects. And then Eddie Wilson was the bass player at the time. And I think we actually, he left or we asked him to leave. I don't remember which case that was, but, and then I think that's when the other bass player came in.
Who's
named
the other
Todd?
Oh, Todd.
Yes.
What was Todd's name?
Todd Roddy.
Todd Roddy. Jonathan Treadway.
Todd Roddy.
This man's name was Todd Roddy.
I think he came in during River, I believe. I do know that somewhere in there, we also had Dean Collier.
Yep.
As the bass player for a very short, and we played at the high
of
school. Of Captain Dean fame.
Yes, sir.
And Marijuana Catfish.
I'm sorry. Yes.
He came in and filled. He wasn't with us for very long. Actually, it may have been the end of that band.
Is it because Todd was great?
Todd was good. He was a great guitar player. but he was also a good bass player.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're Todd.
But nobody seems to remember his name.
That's the thing, though. Yeah.
He was so quiet.
I secretly hope that we've all played with Todd. if only for a second, Todd, enhanced everybody's musical career. God bless you, Todd. I want to find this dude and be like, Todd, you've done it all, man.
He apparently ran into my brother one time, years afterwards, and he was like, hey, Todd, my brother Mark, he's like, hey, Todd, how are you doing? And he was like, you still have my Korn CD. And that was the only thing he said to him. And then...
Well, that's Todd for you.
It is Todd.
That's classic Todd.
It really is. Todd was quiet, and when he said things, you listen. He was like Vinnie Jones in Gone in 60 Seconds, where the only thing he said was really profound.
Yeah, don't mess with Todd.
That was Todd Roddy.
Yeah. True spitter.
I don't even know where we were going from there.
No, we're just talking about Todd. He knows who Todd. Anyway, point is, Treadway, he knows Todd.
He knows Todd.
Calm it down, Treadway. Remember people. So you guys are both playing. When's the first time you played a 21 and up establishment? Both you guys. Cindy?
I think that would be John Spence at Tibbles.
Well, you already said that. My apologies. Yeah. So that was the very first time.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. And is that the, when's the first time you...
I guess probably in Porn Lord.
Porn Lord. Yeah. Okay. And who was in Porn... we've had this before, yep, but let's hear your account.
John Treadway. And there, at one point, there were seven people in that band. So it was myself, John Treadway, my brother, Mark Curtis, was the drummer, Shelby Smith, and John, Jeremy Hook.
Okay.
And then at one point, we had a DJ. Brandon Stapp was the DJ. And then I don't think David Prater was keys the whole time. I think we brought him in midway through. And then so so David Prater was of Technology Versus Horse. Was,
right, of course. Yeah.
Was the keyboard player. So
okay.
No Todd.
No Todd. No Todd?
No Todd.
Not even for one practice?
Nope. Nope. Okay. Todd was had disappeared into the
well,
into
I have
the wilderness.
I have to ask now, Cindy, did you ever play with Todd?
I don't believe I've ever played with Todd.
Okay.
When's I might have.
Well, you never know with Todd.
Never know.
When's the first time that you've played with a full band?
With a full band. John Spence and I were playing Tidballs opening for the New Gods one night, and then Seth Sprouse approached me after the show and asked me if I knew any Floyd. So I said, of course. And then he brought me to one of their practices, and I started playing with them.
That leads me to something, too, because I'm in the same boat as you, where I grew up in church, and that's my mom played piano, led church choir and stuff like that. When do you think you made the... When you said, do you know any Floyd? Of course. When did you make the leap from, which I made the same leap, but from... This is what I listen to. I'm around bluegrass. My family played bluegrass. I learned guitar from my grandfather that played bluegrass music and his brothers. But then, was it, I don't know, when did you make the leap? Not about me. When did you make the leap to go from, this is what I know, this is how I learned, because it is how you learned.
Right.
To, of course I know every Pink Floyd song.
Well,
me and Todd play them all the time. When did you go from A to B? And why?
I saw Michael Jackson perform Billie Jean at that Farewell to Motown show where he did the moonwalk for the first time. This was probably...
1934?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But no, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
And I fell in love with him immediately.
Okay.
Found out who he was and then started listening to 96 STO to catch his stuff.
96 STO. Owensboro, Evansville, Henderson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Best nice. Radio station of all time.
Yeah, Brian, isn't it Brian from D93 that used to DJ STO?
Is that true? Wow, I would like to talk to that guy.
Disclaimer, we're not sure.
Yeah, it was one of those guys.
That's
I can't
really
remember.
Funny that you, yeah.
But I heard his voice later when I moved down here, yeah. And then he was, yeah, I talked to him about it when I saw him. But yeah, I started listening to 96 STO, and then at the same time, my brother had all kinds of tapes, like Bon Jovi, Motley Crue, Poison, and Stray Cats, and Beastie Boys. And so I started stealing his tapes and listening to that stuff. So, and watching MTV. MTV came on the air.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
So there was no more country music for me, except Willie Nelson. I love Willie Nelson.
You still dig the Willie.
Love Willie.
I gotcha. What's next, folks? What's the next band, Cindy?
Nick Minow and the Space Dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that band?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah, we had
I
a
do
lot
by
fun.
Name, if nothing else. Yes, I do.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Now, who were the Space Dinosaurs?
Who was in that? Nick Minow, of course.
He was Nick Minow.
He was
who
Nick
were the
Minow.
Space Dinosaurs?
The Space Dinosaurs were Artemis Williams. Mikey played drums for us.
Okay.
Chris Smith. Mike.
Yeah,
and
well. Yes.
Oh.
Todd.
Todd.
Was Todd, Todd was in it.
Was in it. Matt Bittner from TVH, and he played bass. And then Russell, what was his name? Aaron Russell was in it.
Okay.
So there was five of us.
And what kind of music was that?
It was all Nick Minow stuff.
Okay. And you would call that what kind
kinda,
of
music? Kind of punk.
Okay.
Novelty.
Novelty punk?
Music.
I'll take novelty punk.
Novelty punk. Yeah.
And what's next space for you music. After Sin in Stereo, punk. Sir?
After Sin in Stereo was, I guess that was the beginning of Vile Jive.
Okay.
Technically.
Who was in Vile Jive?
Vile Jive was me, Matt DeVore. That was Shelby. It was a combination of like three bands that all split up at the same time.
Right.
So it was me and Matt and Shelby and a guy named Colby Smith. That last name may not be correct. I think it was Smith.
I'll take it.
Who am I missing? Who else? Marcus McNeese.
Tony.
That's it. No, Tony wasn't in it yet.
Oh.
This was like super new metal band.
Right.
And we actually.
Family Values Tour.
Brad Osbrooks. I knew I was missing somebody. I can't believe. I'm sorry, Brad. It was Brad and Marcus from Stutterbox, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then me and Matt from Sin and Stereo. And then Shelby and Colby were in a band called Safe, I think.
Okay.
And then all of those like fell apart at the same time.
Right.
And so we just put them all together. But there was two really incredible guitar players that were better than me. And we couldn't do a Lynyrd Skynyrd thing and have three guitar players. So I was like, sure. Well, I'll play keys.
Yeah.
And so that's where that started.
Yeah. So, but you'd never played keys previous, too. So, had you learned keys before that and just didn't do it in public? Or were you like, oh, I need something to do. I better figure out this key thing.
A little. I played a little bit of keyboards. Not keyboards. Synth.
Right.
Just one hand.
Mm-hmm.
No bass notes. Maybe trigger in a sample or two. Mm-hmm. In the beginning of what was Porn Lord before David came in. And then, so there was a little, but not much.
Okay.
And I think Shelby, actually, my keyboard got stolen somewhere in there.
By Shelby?
No.
Oh, okay.
By somebody else.
So I know where he lives. We could.
I know who it was, but I'm not going to say. I'm not calling anybody out.
Oh, you know who stole your keyboard?
Yes.
All these years. Think you still got it?
I doubt it. Okay. Actually, I got the sampler back. A buddy of mine worked at Musicians Pro, and mm-hmm. he calls me at work at Hollywood Video and is like, hey, somebody's in here trying to sell your sampler. And I said, well, I'll keep them there. I'll be right there.
Right.
And so when I grabbed it. Anyway.
You got that back.
I did, but not the keyboard. So Shelby actually bought me a keyboard for Vile Jive.
What a sweet fellow.
I know. Nice. He's all right, man.
The Shelby guy, he's all right.
And I can't remember if I paid him back for it or not. Now that we're on the subject.
I wouldn't do it.
I don't remember. Anyway.
Cindy, what was next for you?
Next for me, after Nick Minow, I did a few things. I played with Black Market Peep Show on a show one time, and then I played at State Street with Shelby and Alan Binion and Shane Johnson one time. Mm-hmm. We did great. It was a really fun time. And then after that, I was in The Hungry Ears.
Now, who was in The Hungry Ears?
Oh, there's been many. It started... That's well, you true. Already interviewed
and we've
JD,
had it on
so,
the show before,
yeah.
But let's...
That's true. Almost.
Who was in Hungry Ears when you first started playing?
When I joined, it was after the schools, and JD decided to get it going again. So Nick Clark, had talked to him about being the drummer, and he was living in Michigan at the time, I think, but he was moving back.
Right.
So he called me up and said, hey, I'm joining the Hungry Ears. You should, too. And I said, okay. So then I saw JD and mentioned it, and he said, yeah, sure. And then I ran into Curtis, and I said, hey, yeah, I'm going to be the keyboard player for Hungry Ears. And he was like,
That's interesting, because I am too.
Me too. And I said, we just looked at each other for a second, and I was like, how's that going to work? And he said, I don't know.
Do you guys fight it out?
But we can make it, make it happen.
It was a cage fight.
Yep. You guys got in a cage fight?
No gloves. Oh. Just.
And when you guys were cage fighting to be the keyboard player of Hungry Ears, was there any sort of like a referee or an umpire? Like, who was in charge of who won?
Probably Nick.
Yeah. We're all pacifists, so I guess that's how we both got to. Yeah, got to play.
You just make a face and let somebody say something. That's what I do.
Yeah.
So you wound up playing.
Yes, I played. I played keys and Curtis played synth and some guitar. Did some sampling and stuff.
Yeah, it gave me. When that conversation first came up, I was like, oh, interesting. I wonder how we're going to do that. And I was like, but I'm sure it'll be fine, you know, and fun.
Yeah.
And then after thinking about it, that let me kind of freed me up to be able to do, almost be an auxiliary player.
Yes.
Which I'd always kind of wanted to do anyway, at that point that I knew how to play guitar and bass and some percussion and keys. And
well, even going back to what you were saying, like when JD had left schools and went back to doing that. That's what I did for schools. That's what made schools fun. I was basically live production.
Right. You know
what I mean? That's kind of what Curtis was.
I'm playing keys. I'm playing guitar. I'm shaking this. We need it shook. Like, I'm just here to fill in all the blanks, you know?
Yeah.
And it's actually pretty damn fun.
I actually would like to do that with everything.
Right.
Yeah. Just be able to put something down and do something else. Except for the load in.
That's more aggravating,
Yeah.
And you got a guitar over.
I just changed my mind. I don't want to do that again.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. So you guys are both in, this is kind of where we get to come together here. You guys are both in Hungry Ears. What's next for each of you guys?
Well, that's where we came together and then split apart.
Yeah, we were in that band for a year and a half, probably. Yeah,
probably.
And then I went to Full Frontal Saurus, which is the band I'm in now.
And and broke Annabelle's heart.
Oh, I love it.
I know, I'm just kidding. But we made her cupcakes for her birthday.
Oh, is that? Shame. Well, we should probably explain.
That's my oldest daughter's.
She broke your daughter's heart.
Yes. And we were practicing at my house. And there being a girl in the band, and in that case, two girls in the band, you know, made Annabelle really happy. And then when Cindy had left, that was kind of, Hungry Ears was kind of like disintegrating at that point anyway. So at least that version of it. And so,
for now.
Yeah. Anyway, so when she decided that she wanted to do something different than when Cindy did, I had to break the news to Annabelle, who was seven or something probably. Then. And they had made her cupcakes for her birthday. She says she loves you too.
She used to go get her little guitar when we would start practicing and run down there and just jam with us.
Right.
And it was really loud down there, and she loved it.
Yeah.
She had a great time.
Yeah, she's awesome.
So you go to Full Frontal Saurus, which I've talked to Jared.
Yeah,
I think you might have some involvement in that in a way or shape or form here too. But what do you do directly after Hungry Ears, Mr. Coitus?
At that point, we had... we had brought James Thompson.
Yeah, Nick left Hungry Ears and
from
James
from Full Frontal.
Full Frontal Saurus.
And Double Zero the Rabbit.
And Double Zero. Oh, here we tied it all together.
He was James in what band?
I'm sorry. Wow.
I'm just kidding. Anyway, I was messing with you. So James went on for Hungry Ears.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And And yeah, he and I tried a few projects after the Hunger Years kind of fell apart. That grouping of Hunger Years,
yeah.
And then I did a few things and then joined the band that I'm in now, which is Black Bloods.
Black Bloods. Mm-hmm. Now, who's in the Black Bloods?
Black Bloods is Blake Cardwell, Jordan Hunter, and Hayden Gibbs. Okay. And myself.
Right.
Obviously.
What style of music is that?
It is alt rock.
Fair enough.
I guess. That's, yeah. Yeah. We just finished the EP called Daddy's Girl while we're plugging.
Sure. Please plug.
And we're going to debut at Live on the Lot. I don't know if this will be.
It won't.
Okay.
But we'll, yeah.
Well, it'll be released when you hear this. And yeah. And yeah, the.
You guys record this yourselves?
No.
Did you go somewhere?
We did it at Blake and Hayden's house, but we did it with Nate Davis.
Okay, yeah. Sandy, what are you doing with yourself?
We also have an album coming out that I guess will be released by the time you hear this.
Okay.
It doesn't have a name yet. It might not. It might just be Full Frontalosaurus. I don't know. But we recorded it at in Lexington at Sneak Attack Records.
Okay.
With Jason Groves, who was in Superfuzz.
Oh, nice.
Back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
It's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Of Bowling Green.
Right. Yeah. It kind of all comes around, doesn't it? Well, that's, you know.
I was also in the Japanese Schoolgirls while we're. I think that was the only one I
would. We
did. Yeah. I don't know how that happened.
Who are them fellows and what in the hell did you do with them?
yeah. That band has changed too since I.
When you were in it, was it 1E or 2?
It was 2 from the beginning as far as.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I always thought it was 1. Maybe I just was glancing.
I think it's mostly just to separate it from other things on the interwebs.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you Googled that,
yeah,
you're in, you know, could be trouble.
You got to add that other E.
Mm. And Miles Austin was in Full Frontal.
That's right.
Before Kale joined.
Okay.
Wow. So Miles is in the Japanese Schoolgirls still.
Right.
Yeah. Reminiscing.
We'll continue to do so. Let me ask both you guys, what was the best show you ever played?
That may take some thinking.
Cindy.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that.
Nobody does.
I have a great time every time I play. But I think my favorite thing is playing with friends, like helping friends out. Like played Outhouse Etiquette's release,
mm-hmm.
and I played on that album. And then I played with the Lost River Cavemen one time, a couple of times actually. Yeah. And I played on their album, and that was really fun. I love those guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have a few that are probably balanced for different reasons.
Yeah.
One was we used to, in Grand Monster, we would play at the National Guard Armory.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was the only place, really.
Especially
if you're underage.
Yes.
And so Grand Monster played there quite a bit, and they were always, I mean, we were like an industrial jam band, which is really strange to even think about now. But
mm-hmm.
So we had a really weird group of characters that always came to the shows, and there would be it was pretty wild, especially for everybody to be under 21 and probably not drinking much anyway.
Hiding it the best they could.
Yeah, so there were some R-rated situations that happened sometimes on the stage and in front of the stage and stuff, so that was interesting. And there were a few of those that I probably put on the top of that list just because of the pure absurdity of what was happening.
Right.
There's a couple of Vile Jive shows that really were just mostly at Tidballs that were just overwhelming. The like response and the people singing along and the amount of people there.
Those were great.
Especially after we started doing the, like, I guess kind of once a year shows. There were a couple of those.
Let me ask y'all this, because you both have children. And I ask everybody this, but not in the same way. It's typically, if you can go back in time and talk to yourself when you first started playing music. Let's say y'all's children get into playing music. What time-honored advice would you impart to your own children about, this is what I would do if I was you? If you can tell they truly love it and want to do it, they feel the same way you felt when you first started going out, when you first played that first good show and saw, hey, well, I've got a fan. What do you tell them to do or not to do?
Practice.
Mm-hmm. Just practice.
Practice a lot. Yeah. Just play.
Yeah, that's definitely there. Practice. Do it. You know, do it and enjoy it. But do it because
you enjoy it.
You enjoy it. Yeah. Don't try to get caught up in it trying to be a business, because I did that a lot, and I think it ruined some of it for me.
Right.
Yeah. And practice, because there's millions of people just like you doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'm not sure that I wouldn't take some of my parents' advice and pass that on to them and say, go to college and make sure you have something else in case.
You're going to need a backup plan.
Because you're going to have to pay for that gear, because I'm not going to be able to.
You know, I mean, I know that, you know, I personally, and I can only imagine, and maybe, or at least it's me speaking for me, but I wouldn't be able to be like, son or daughter, you're not special. You're just really not. You can play that or you can sing this, but like you said, there's a lot of people that can do that.
And most of them better than you. A lot of them.
But you know, chances are, you never know. So, I mean, you know, need that backup.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a backup. But I always think, like, there's only one person who is the best. So it doesn't really matter that you're not the best.
Right.
That's a good point.
You might as well just do it.
Maybe I'm jaded.
Sure. It doesn't get any better with time.
No, it's been a lot of fun. Like, music, and especially, I'm really glad that I didn't decide to move to Nashville or California or somewhere where it's just so saturated with great talent. I'm glad I stayed here, because there's a lot of talent here too, but the creativity and the kind of mesh of everything has I'm glad that I stayed here, and I'm glad I'm part of the scene.
Me too. Yeah.
And so I would probably tell them to do that. Stay as long as you can.
Don't leave.
Don't run
play
off.
Play titballs.
Yeah.
And speaking of titballs, what is y'all's favorite place to play?
Titballs.
Well, nailed that.
Yeah.
What's the best song ever?
Ever?
Ever.
Oh, man.
The best one. Nice, right? What's the best song ever? And if you can't do best song, what's the best band ever? Or artist?
That's impossible to answer.
It's not impossible. I'll give you mine. My favorite artist ever is Tom Waits. What's your favorite artist or band ever?
Tom Waits.
Yours is Tom Waits?
No. I don't believe you. I do love him. But I was just
No. Mine's Mike Patton. I'm a huge Mike Patton fan.
Mike Patton?
So Faith No More or Mr. Bungle. Be hard to decide either one of those as far as my favorite band ever.
I really like the Beatles a lot. I wouldn't say they're the best band ever.
I've heard the Beatles a few times so far, and it's daylight and dark. People are like, because sometimes I'll ask, what's the most overrated band? Mm-hmm. And I'll get the Beatles.
Right.
Sometimes, you can be both.
But sometimes people are like, love the Beatles.
Yeah. I really do like them a lot.
You can be the best and overrated.
But it's also just
how,
like,
good you are.
That's right.
My favorites are Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, and the Beatles. Anytime I can listen to any of those bands and be happier.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I can't say the same about Led Zeppelin. Almost any time I hear Led Zeppelin, it just pisses me off.
Makes you mad.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know why. That's just because I've listened to it so much or...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that a lot.
Yeah. I don't... But it does. I don't. That's a. I would almost have to sit down and do like a family tree,
right,
of music that I really like.
Who was y'all's favorite band when you graduated high school?
Oh, that's so embarrassing. I'm gonna go.
Oh man.
No, it's okay. Who was your favorite band when you graduated high school?
Yeah, I really liked you too. Mm-hmm. I had Oxen Baby, mm-hmm, and that helped me through some dark times.
Okay.
I mean, I had kind of a rough time when I was graduating high school.
Okay.
I had, mine was probably...
Savage Garden?
No. it was probably Nirvana or Pearl Jam, Nevermind, and 10 both were...
Well, that's not embarrassing. Like, I mean, that was
back and forth. And of course, Faith No More. The first cassette I ever bought with my own money was Metallica, Master Puppets, and Faith No More, The Real Thing at the same time. And Faith No More just took it. They were so weird comparatively. So that was probably in there too.
It was an interesting point, though.
Nine Inch Nails were probably in there too.
Nine Inch Nails? Oh, yeah. They're still around as well. I mean, what was the first single or album you bought with your own money?
I don't remember. The first record that I had was Michael Jackson Thriller.
Yes.
But that was a long, long time ago.
Great.
And we're talking vinyl at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
But I don't remember... with my own money. It might have been Licensed to Ill, even though I'd had it on tape. But every time something happened to it, I've probably bought that album like 5 times.
All right. Because you're the first time I've had 2 people on the show, I'd like to end it up by asking. And I'll start with Cindy. Cindy, what's your favorite musical thing Eric Curtis has ever done?
Oh. Interesting.
Well, I haven't heard some of the early stuff.
Ah, Cindy's probably better.
With Todd?
Yeah, with Todd. I haven't heard any of the bands with Todd. So I miss that era. Vile Jive. Yeah.
All right. And Eric, what's your favorite musical endeavor Cindy has ever done?
Man, I really like the Space Dinosaurs. It was a lot of fun. but I also, I'd say probably to date is Full Frontal. Because it's my style of music that I've listened to regularly. So yeah, Full Frontal is definitely my pick, my top pick. That's a really awkward question to ask, by the way.
I know.
It's like, now do I get this right?
Now you guys want to fight about anything,
but now bare knuckle. No, I want to play keys.
Well, that's it. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
My guests today have been Cindy Darst, Eric Curtis. I always have to say Coitus. I can't Coitus, say Curtis.
No, it's fine.
Well, after the fact, I'll tell you the story. Well, I have to say Coitus. Sound Atlas. Yay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's it.
All right.
Yay. That was fun.